What's going on, everyone? This is Chris Captain Ryans.
Joe the Hator Turner.
Mike Rokezilla Roka.
Bill, a.k.a. Billions.
And you're listening to The Word Podcast, where you're going to need 3D glasses for your ears. Everybody, say word.
Word.
Hello again, noble word listeners and fans. This is Joe the Hator Turner, and I'm here with the rest of the Word Podcast crew. Everybody going to give a silent word shout-out this time. Give a moment of silence for the late, great Dwayne McDuffie. Sure, most of these fans, just like us all, you know, are very sad about the news. If you haven't heard, Dwayne McDuffie, the project lead behind Milestone Comics, one of the DC Comics imprints in the 90s that saw all of the ethnic superheroes really getting their fair share with, you know, decent stories in their own universe being published by DC. Also, Dwayne McDuffie had an incredibly strong, prominent hand in the creation and writing for some of the best shows on TV like Justice League Unlimited. And now with the recent All-Star Strike DVD release, which is pretty amazing. And we're going to talk a little bit about Dwayne McDuffie in a tribute. And we're going to talk about All-Star Superman, which is a great lasting legacy.
And this brother, he created Static as well, right?
Yeah, one of the characters for the Milestone universe. Static was like, you know, he was Milestone Spider-Man. He was that young character that got to see everything a little bit more naive and kind of tell us a little bit more because he didn't have all our preconceptions.
That was my favorite character out of the whole group there.
Yeah, Billions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would you say he's the most enduring? Because I think he's going to be the one that gets the most longevity.
Yeah, I mean, he's got, you know, he had the cartoon, which was pretty big. I mean, none of them ever saw that. And I think there was a crossover.
He was. They did that great Justice League Unlimited crossover,
right?
So too, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. And that Batman Beyond crossover with that, yeah,
yes,
where he was an old man in the future. Some really good stuff. Really, really good.
Gray
stuff.
Dreads.
yeah, right. Old gray dreads. So yeah, I'm gonna pass the mic off to different members of the Word, and we're all gonna give a little remembrance of Mr. McDuffie.
I was real excited when Milestone came out, even though to me, like, you know, I've read like better stories and whatnot, but Dwayne McDuffie was always like at the top of that shit. You know what I mean? He was that one that really went out there and really made a name for himself. And you know, there was a time when I didn't even know that he was black. I was like, oh, okay. And then when I saw him once, I was like, oh shit, okay, that is awesome. I'm glad he's out there doing it and whatnot. You know, I always think that Static is superhero version of Rokezilla. you know, it looks just like him.
I think it's missing one important element.
The smoke?
Electricity. that's what I meant. Electricity, yeah.
Ah, yes. That's just what I was going to say.
What you got to say, Rogue? You think he'd be a good animated version of Rokezilla?
He's already animated.
Yeah, you know, if they ever do a live-action movie, call me.
I licked my eyebrow.
You guys didn't see that. But yeah, call me. You know, I'm right on top of trash cans, man.
How'd that news hit you, man? It came out. I mean, the news came out the same day as it, because he passed the day of the release of All Star.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, you know.
A day before?
I saw, you know, All Star Superman, you know, prior than the release of it coming out. But, you know, because I didn't, you know, the way I got it.
Yes.
Yeah. And
we have word powers.
Yeah, we have word powers. But when I found out that he died, I was like, wow, that name sounds familiar. And that the thing, I'm like, wow, oh wow, he's tied on with All-Star Superman. Well, that's kind of like on some Dilla shit, like, you know, like, because Dilla's, like, you know, his album came out then a couple days later, a day before, he like passed too. So it was like, and like, wow, and like, and now hearing all the stuff from you guys about how he, like, I know he made Creative Static Shock. I was like, oh, that's fucking awesome. I used to love the shit out of Static Shock. I used to come in, yeah, he used to wear like the X cap before he even had dreads and shit. Like, I used to get into Static Shock. He used to wear like the University of Miami and stuff. And then I saw the show. I was like, oh shit, this is a black dude, the black, like, DC superhero show headlined by a black dude. And it was like, it was awesome.
Right.
It was great.
I think one thing that sucks is who's gonna take that spot? who's going to take Dwayne McDuffie's spot? Who's going to be? Fucking Hudlin?
I mean, it's weird, too, because when we did when we were talking about Black Comics, you know, What is Black Comics, a while ago, for any listeners that didn't catch that episode, we did two slam bang episodes, man. We had some great guests on, too. But we were talking about Milestone as being kind of like a great representation at the time, and even kind of enduring, like, really well as a really good representation of these characters of color without making them, you know, super cliche, you know, super transparent, fill the niche ethnic characters. This was the, you know, the universe where these people just had powers like anybody else. And I don't know if we take Dwayne McDuffie's spot as the dude that made all this great work, it's going to be a hard, you know, hard shoes to fill. Obviously, if we make it as the premier black creator, you know, in the comic field with the crossover too, I don't really think we're going to know that for a long time. Because I don't think we could have done this episode about McDuffie even when Milestone was coming out. Even though the stuff had an impact, it takes 20 years, you know, for you to really understand like how much somebody impacted. So I know Hudlin can't really match up to that. Not skill-wise, that's a preference thing, you know. But especially as a I need to do this because I need to do this, like, no, I mean, stepping out and making a Milestone is a big deal. I don't see anybody necessarily getting away with that nowadays in an enduring fashion. I don't know. I don't know who's going to do that. I don't know. Mr. Guest Speaker. Guest Speaker in the house.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
For me, like, in...
Keone.
For me, it's just like growing up, you know, you watch a lot of cartoons or even in comics, you know, black superheroes are kind of done. Like, yeah, there's a black superhero, but, you know, then you have Hammerman.
right. Exactly. Like, this is, yeah. This is
for important. Me, Dwayne McDuffie, he also worked on Superman. And he didn't work on Batman, but he did work on Superman. And
animated.
And, like, in the interviews, he was just a guy who really enjoyed, like, comics and whatnot. I never really got into Milestone. In fact, I didn't get into Milestone until... they reprinted that continuation, that Milestone, to finish off that universe that happened.
The one that, like, crossover in Justice League?
No.
The miniseries.
Where they tied everything after that universe, in that universe.
They brought back all their original artists for that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Really impressive.
The good thing is they did bring Static in the modern DC universe, which is actually pretty cool.
I think they brought them all in that. Well,
no, they didn't
not
Icon.
All of them.
They did bring Icon. Oh, they did bring Icon.
They crossed them over with... I don't know if the rest of them. I can't recall if Hardware got a shake,
but Icon
was in Justice League.
But for me, one of my favorite things about Dwayne McDuffie is that he wrote a lot of good episodes on Justice League Unlimited. And one of them is my personal favorite, is The Great Brain Robbery, which is like probably the best episode of all the third season of that show. It has one. Lex Luthor and Flash, they switch brains. They're...
Lex Luthor's like, he's in the bathroom, he's in Flash's body, he's like, finally, I can know who this guy is. I have no idea who this guy is.
But one of my favorite lines in that episode, Lex Luthor, for Flash Luthor, voiced by Michael Rosenbaum, which makes it even better, is walking out of the bathroom, and I think it's Mirror Master, or the key, I think it's the key.
The key,
And he goes, like, aren't you going to wash your hands? And he's like, no. Because I'm evil. he wrote that episode. I mean, he also, like, he wrote he was one of the co-writers of the Darkheart episode. And, again, which is another great episode.
That was the Warren Ellis written episode?
Yeah, it was the Warren Ellis episode. And I think he also, no, Keith Giffen did The Greatest Story Never Told. But, again, like I said before, you know, in a world of black superheroes and even in black cartoons, anything Afrocentric in general, they're not really put in a positive light. Even if they are, you know, the animation's crappy or it's like character that lives in the hood. The thing about Static, he was lower class African American, but at the same time, you know, it was like family values and
was a stereotype.
He completely was not the stereotype. I mean, you have the occasional Shaq guest stars on an episode of Static Shock,
well,
and that's fine.
Like, when the book came out, he was in Static X. Right. He was a rock at the Malcolm X caps, and he was in the hood.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I never really read any of the...
Like, he is from the hood. And, like, you know, I mean, you know, when you bring a cartoon show to the WB of all places...
Right, they cleaned it up.
They're going to clean it up.
Yeah, they're going to clean it up. And let's also make sure that we say cleaning up for us means dumbing down.
Dumbing down.
You're going to take something out. There was nothing wrong with the original.
Maybe not dumbing down, but making it safe for white folks.
Even that, and like,
simplifying it culturally.
He was
put
very
it that
serious.
Way.
He wasn't all like, hey.
Well, you know, one of the things I was talking to one of our customers about the other day was that one of the biggest changes, and I still really like the Static Shock cartoon show. I'm glad that it got
Me
made.
Too.
But I think that it really is a ironic distinction because the original Static Shock, like you said, he was Static X.
He was definitely
like coming into – he was the Spider-Man character. He was learning about the world. He had these great sort of, you know, innocent views that you could kind of like look at the world through, which is the Spider-Man character. But also the thing that was great was he was really smart, just like Spider-Man, just like Peter. You know, he was the brain. He was the Spider-Man character in all ways.
Nerdy, snarky.
And when they did the animated series, they gave him a sidekick, which increased the interracial appeal because his best friend was the white tech kid.
You know, I never watched
but
the
at
cartoon.
The same time, it took the technological know-how out of Static's hands. So it bridged one gap, which needed to be bridged racially, culturally. And it also created another, like, kind of dearth because everybody could still be friends with Static, you know, like, appreciate Static Shock, but you know what I mean.
In the X cartoons, like, thing is, like, when Static X came out, that was during the whole era of the Malcolm X hat in general. Like, Malcolm X movie just came out.
Right.
Like, everybody had the X hat and everything and to fight the power videos and all
Three
that.
Acres and a Mule.
Three Acres and a Mule, all that type of stuff. So, he was Static X.
What's that?
When he first started, he was Static X.
I mean,
but not Static Shock.
You know?
That's why Static Shock's logo is an X in the background. Because he was Static X. The X was smaller. And he wasn't purple. He was like, it was like blue electricity. But I guess, like, you know, as he got more popular, like we said, they started watering down even the comic and started changing the hat. Like, he started wearing like actual teams, like University of Miami or whatever. Like, it was like actual, like, you know, teams instead of like the X hat because, you know, and because that movement had moved on.
Right. I was going to say also because time had moved on. Because I don't know if they watered the character down as much as they became. I think all of those characters became a little bit more purposeful as a universe shaped up and a little bit less militant because they had less to say. They had less reason to say we're carving out our niche because it was already carving out and more reason to say, you know, hey, this is where our characters are going to wind up going. And that was a big step because that's how you know, create longevity. Of course, Milestone didn't wind up lasting and now we see a resurgence of it with DC, but you know, it's hard for any universe to kind of get any kind of traction. And they did it. They did it with some style, I must say. But let's talk for a brief second about All-Star Superman because as much as McDuffie worked on all these other great works and we're remembering him, All-Star Superman just came out, directed DVD from DC Direct videos, the animated videos. And for all intents and purposes, every review I've heard has been glowing. I watched it. I loved it. And if you love the comic book, I at least, even as the hater, will say, buy this now. Buy it now or convince somebody you know to buy it and watch it at their crib because it is impressive, really. Anybody else got anything to say? I mean, I thought it was impossible to bring something like a Grant Morrison, you know, Superman to video. But
yeah, I mean, it was good, and I remember it just as much as I do the book when I watched it. And the only thing, if I had to pick at something, it just seemed to – it didn't take away from it, but it seemed to jump. Like, it seemed to make certain jumps between different interactions that he had with people.
Yeah.
But it was still – they were just telling good stories. It wasn't necessarily anything that needed to flow from one. Like, if you're watching this, you know who Superman is. You know who all the supporting characters are. We're not going to bore you with a lot of the, you know, little, like, nuances of, like, their relationships. These are just vignettes, basically, you know, about Superman, you know, Superman's adventures. So
I think the one thing that I loved about this story, and I didn't read the book, you know, now I'm going to go back and read the shit now. But for people that don't know, this is Superman. Like, this is like Silver Age. This is the Silver Age Superman.
Yeah.
You know, this guy, powerful as shit. So. Fucking genius. He's a god. Like, if you look at the cover, it's just
I'm making sons defeat this monster in my Fortress of Solitude.
He's like, I got a sun eater. Well, what do you feed it?
Sons. Of course.
Silly bitch.
Got an anvil right over here.
Silly bitch. I'm feeding him sons.
Like, he's making donuts.
Here you go. Nice tasty glaze, son. No, I really like that. And if you look at the cover of the book where he's sitting on a cloud, chilling. Like they said, I was watching Blu-ray, and you know, Grant Morrison's talking about the cover of the book and shit. And when he was saying, like, he's, you know, he just has that nonchalant look on his face. I mean, he's Superman. Who the fuck can fuck with me? I'm Superman. You know, he's sitting there chilling, just like, sitting on a cloud. I'm fucking awesome. You know what I mean? It's like, and he can do anything. He's way too fucking smart for anyone. He is literally a god walking the earth, you know?
Yeah, I want to add in that for anybody that didn't read the book, the real trick to this is kind of quintessential Superman. The All-Star series from DC is really like boiled down the entire history of a character into a short form. They did an All-Star Batman, too. I must say, you really don't want to read that. It was atrocious.
Fucking child abuse. It was like with a Batman with a 5 o'clock shadow.
It was pretty damn bad. I mean, I'm not going to just like rag on Frank Miller and Jim Lee for that one because that's not appropriate. But I will say the All-Star line was originally intended to be. No, so he was all those things. It was fucked up. I mean, really, it was a bad book. But the reason. Oh, yeah, him too. Look, wow. The thing about the All-Star line that's really important is originally it was kind of like the Ultimate line. You know, it was retellings, but it wasn't retellings. It wasn't reimaginings. It was all of the history that you might never have known or got a chance to give a fuck about turned into a story that made the character 10 times 10 awesome. And this All-Star Superman, you know, story-wise, from the book to the movie, like Chris said, he's a genius. He's solving fucking cancer. You know what I mean? Like, maybe I'll have my Superman robots go and stop this threat to the world because I'm doing some research right now. You know, it was awesome. That's a great character.
And I'm just I don't know why I'm just realizing it. That's the only Superman book that I've read with any regularity ever in my life.
Yeah, you know what the
that's
irony,
how good it was.
You know what the irony about that too is because it was a miniseries. You know, it really didn't seem like it was going to be like it isn't connected to any other continuity. You don't need to read any other book. If you read another book, it doesn't really help you understand it necessarily. It doesn't connect to DC Universe.
And it's nice. You don't have to. You don't need that. To enjoy
right,
the stories.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't need it at all. And, you know, for everything, making the Superwoman pill for Lois so she could fly around with them and see what it's like to be Superman for a day, or like, you know, having the Sun Eaters in the house, or the incredible Lex Luthor that they write for, who is genuinely hates.
Voiced by Anthony LaPaglia?
He was
from
fantastic.
Empire Records and shit.
He did such a good job, man. Like,
and now.
He sounded close to Ed Asner for some reason.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But I will say this. When I first saw I watched it by myself, and I was, like, really blown away. I was like, wow.
Did you watch it with the lights on?
No, I didn't. I didn't do that. When I watched it, I really, like, enjoyed it. But the second time I watched it was when I got the chills, because I was sitting with a friend of mine who read the book. I never read the book.
Oh, you told me about this, yeah.
I told Joe about this, like, last week. My friend of mine is, like, they're watching. He's like, yo. I'm like, what? I'm, like, sitting there, like, what's going on? He's like, that's a shot from the book. That's a shot for the book.
Yeah.
And that's a shot for the book.
Yeah.
They were dead on.
That's a shot for the book. And I was like, really? He's like, yes. And I was like, wow, they're really going to actually, like, I always wanted to see the Sun Eater part in motion.
Right.
And she like, it was like, wow, man, he got more excited than I did. And I was like, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
I wanted to show you how cool it is. You're making it cooler for me.
Right. I mean, the series is great. And just to tie up loose ends, Billionaire, when you were talking about a few loose ends or seeming like jumps or gaps or even just the feeling of it, I gotta say that I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I think the main reason for it is because as much as All-Star Superman is one great plot, it's a great plot that weaves through kind of a day in the life of Superman. Because,
yeah.
You know, he's got cancer. Or he's got a weird disease that's,
yeah.
You know, that's going to kill him, but right now he's as powerful as he's ever been. And so he's, it's kind of like Superman's bucket list almost. Random shit just keeps happening to him.
Yeah.
And he just takes it in stride. And they had to take a few of those random events out to make a 70-minute movie instead of what would have been, I think, a great, imagine, like, miniseries of shorts.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, why not?
Parasite is one. You know, the Sun Eater is one. Yeah. Superwoman's one. And they could be 15 minutes long. Who cares?
God, Parasite was crazy.
Yeah. Like, in the jail?
Wow.
Earthquake. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That's great, man. Like,
that's not the Parasite from that WB show I was watching at all.
This dude was a fucking base head. He was like, I need the fucking power. That dude Look at this shiny son of a bitch in the glasses. I need him.
Yo, that's the other thing is that Lex genuinely had no idea who Superman was, even though he was being interviewed by Clark.
And it's,
and they're like, they're hand in hand. They're right there, like talking to each other the whole time. And Lex is saying things like, you're everything that Superman isn't.
He really has
no clue, you know?
Meanwhile, he's,
Yeah. Like pouring out all that For hate. Real. That's my son.
He's old.
Word. Yeah. Great movie. Captain down.
Captain, don't put the camera down. Don't.
I also got to say that in conclusion for myself, one of the things that makes me feel the best about recording this podcast with my brothers here tonight is that we're talking about the passing of a great talent, and we're talking about it with humor. And it's not because we're laughing at anybody. It's because his legacy has kind of left us with enough really overwhelmingly positive, important things to us for us to talk about. And that's an amazing thing, you know. But would that all the great creators or all creators could be that great and leave something that people wanted to, you know, get that excited about and talk that much about.
It's Dwayne Duffy. Rest in peace, sir.
Hey, this is Terry Moore, and you're listening to the Word Podcast. And, brother, you're going to need 3D glasses for those ears, because here comes Word. Say word. Word out. Say word. Word out. Yo, that's my word. Say word. Word. Say word. Word out. Say word. Word. Say word. Word. Say word. Say word. Say word. That's my word. Say word. Yo, that's my word. Say word. Word. Say word. Say word. That's my word. Say word. Word. Say word.
Say word. Word. So, how stoned was James Franco last night at the Oscars?
Man.
Shit.
You want what he's got.
Man. Seriously. Press in full effect.
Yo, I want a whole bowl's worth of that
he
shit.
He was so sauced.
No. Saying he was sauced was meaning he's been drinking.
Oh.
He was parched that night. He was not drinking. That nigga was fucking baked.
He had that face like on Spider-Man 3 when he had the pie. So good. Like whatever chronic he was on, he was like, they were like, how you doing, Mr. Franco? So good.
Man, he was so on, man.
Yeah, like he was jiggy eye with a bow tie on.
Damn, bro.
Yeah, man.
What's going on, guys?
Dr. Puffler is awake.
I thought that nigga was out cold for the night. Did you see the way we tripped over when we came in? Somebody said something about weed or something, man. And I was like, hey, that's my thing, man. So I just came over to see what was going on.
Well, Doc, I mean, we were, barely see you, bro. We were talking about the Oscars. We weren't talking about the greenery, but, you know, you're here.
Looking at you makes my eyes sleepy.
Who's Oscar, man? I don't know him, dude.
The Academy
Oscar
Award.
Meyer, who's got hot dogs, man?
Academy
I
Award,
am so stoned.
Doc. The Academy Awards, the 83rd annual Academy
Awards.
Oh,
I heard about that, man. One of my guys was like the host, man. I was there with him, and we smoked some shit, man, and we did a thing.
Busta got him fucked up because
he had something called, like, I don't know what you call it, Apple Highway or something.
Apple Highway.
What is it? It was from a movie or something, man. Star Wars? Well, I forgot what it was called, man. It was awesome, man. Who's got cookies?
Puff, they only let you into the Oscars if you're wearing a suit, but you've always got the same gear on. Please tell me they didn't let you in like that.
I'll say it again, man. Who's Oscar, man? I don't even know. You know,
he's probably in the fucking rafters. You know what? All his actors looking up like, are these cookie crumbs?
I was outside and like, and I guess he was like, I gotta go back on in like 40 seconds, dude. Spark it up. And I was like, all right. You know, so we did it, man. And, you know, I was fucking tooting, man. And that dude, he looked like me when I'm stoned all the time, which is Mongolian.
Yeah.
He was like out of it, man.
That dude.
When Doc said toot, you can't see it. When he said tooting, the smoke that came out this man's mouth, there's nothing burning around him. The smoke that came out his mouth.
There's always something burning around me, man.
I wonder,
I
wonder what your forehead looks like.
Yeah,
me too.
Who?
hey, Doc. Because we're talking about the awards. What was your favorite movie of the year? If you were gonna give it an award, you know? Did you even see any movies?
Oh man, did I see any movies? did I? What's that show called, man? It's on the Weeds, Showtime. did I win anything, man?
That's
did
a show, Doc. That's
You know, did it win an award for something, man? Did it?
No, this is for movies, the Academy Awards.
Oh, those, man. Shit, dude. Super Jaime? did that win, man?
That was a document. No, yeah, that won. It did a
excellent.
Really good job.
About time, man. It was awesome.
I have a feeling when you go to the movies, you spend half the time at the snack counter. I don't know. I'm thinking you do.
What do you say?
Nah, the Doc's pockets are, endlessly filled with special ingredients. Hey, Doc, you know,
man.
I don't want to cut you off or anything, but
it's cool, man.
I just wanted to give you the shout out you deserve. Why don't you ask the Mighty Roguezilla about some of the stuff that happened at the awards ceremony so you can tell us about it? Cause,
hey,
you know
what? You know, I did hear one thing, and I'm going to let Cap say this real quick, man. Hold on, Cap, come here, man. Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. My favorite fucking thing was that Star Wars won an award last night.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did. Natalie Portman won Best Actress. And that is a makeup award. Shut up! That is a makeup award for Star Wars. It was like, you know what happened with Denzel Washington when he got it for Training Day, when he should have got it for Malcolm X. This is what happened with her. She got it for 1, 2, and 3 of the episodes of Star Wars.
I think the captain was standing too close to Doc because he's got some new way of looking at the world.
Let's get one thing straight. I don't puff the reefer. As delicious as it may smell, I don't puff the reefer.
I'll say this. I think as a true testament to Natalie Portman's acting ability, you can see that obviously the chains of Star Wars have not held her back from progressing in her career.
No, hey, get off the mic.
I'll cut you, Bill, with a knife and make you bleed. Femur. I don't know.
Batman got an Oscar last night. Fuck Padme. Okay. Christian Bale. Good for you.
He's fucking distracting.
Yeah, him and his epic beard and his epic accent. And he kept pulling his pants up a lot. He was really like, wow, I'm fucking up here. Like, he was really blown away. Like, and it was really cool to see Christian Bale win an Oscar because he's
AKA Redbeard.
Redbeard, hey, the pirate.
Hey, you know who else?
His beard's
blown
red.
Hey,
like that's the color that shit makes.
Hey, Zilla, you know who else is blown away? James Franco, man. he was fucking on, dude. Like, he was off his rocker.
Doc, give me the mic.
But, you know, King's Speech won the big three that I knew was going to win.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was really all that surprised.
I wasn't
about
surprised
that.
Either. The one person that wanted to win was Little Haley.
Say again?
Little Haley. True Grit got nothing. Nominated for 10 Oscars. Got nothing. And he was like, fuck that. Jeff Bridges won last year. He ain't winning this year.
Would have really been nice.
Same
to
thing
see.
For Coen Brothers, too. It was like, you know what, you guys.
Oh, right.
And it had an ending. You're like, what are you guys doing? Ending movies, Coen Brothers. Fuck you.
You know, it is frustrating whenever, like, filmmakers make a great movie after they've made great movies, but they make a great movie and they get shit
and
for
they
it
get
because
shit
of politics.
For it, man.
I mean,
and it's like, I'm like, honestly, Inception was nominated for 8, and I'm surprised they got something.
Well, it, like you said, what did it win for? Because Inception was a great film.
It won for cinematography, sound mixing, and sound editing.
Now, those sound like awards that you give to a movie that's good
and once
because
again,
you can't give it other awards, or to a bad movie that actually deserves to win them.
Another,
you know what I mean?
Like Hans Zimmer.
Yeah.
Oh, he has too many type shit. And I hate that. I hate
they have too many because they're good.
I think that's what they're looking at. Like, I mean, Trent Reznor from fucking Nirvana.
Trent Reznor makes incredible music.
Where's he from?
No, Nine Inch Nails. Dude.
Oh. From Nirvana? And
I think you were standing too close to the dock tonight.
I mean, he does make good music. But this is
No. Did you see Social Network?
I saw Social Network.
And you heard the music.
And I heard the music. It was fucking phenomenal. But fucking every piece of music in Inception has you like, holy shit.
Agreed.
I don't know where to pay attention to the fucking background music.
Agreed.
Or the story.
Agreed. But that's what I'm saying. Politics, again, like, how do you give Social Network any awards if you give the movie that deserves it awards?
The
know?
Second one I was very happy with was Rick Baker got a fucking Oscar for his makeup. Wolfman.
Huh.
Fuck yeah. Rick Baker's a beast.
Wait, Wolfman was only last year? I thought that was two years ago.
They make up him. Huh. Rick Baker, my man, that's in the same fucking studio as Savini. They own the same studio.
That's impressive.
That's what's up.
Yeah, that's real.
Melissa Leo won Best Supporting Actress for the Fighter.
And congrats to her because she's going to be in Red State. Kevin Smith is the man. I'm sorry. Take it back.
Yeah.
The captain.
Yeah.
Had to get there.
Shut out that bomb. Oh, I thought I was... You heard...
She what? Was, and her accepted?
She was, and she was like, I can't. And she's like, wow, there's people up there, too. Like, she was, like, blown away. Like, man, she said, I can't fucking believe. And everybody's like, ah. I thought it was fucking hilarious. I was like,
awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, they bleeped it.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
oh, they get that 3 seconds.
Get that 3 seconds. Yeah,
give me that 3 second delay.
Yeah.
Everybody else did, too.
Yeah. But I thought it was a pretty good show. And Anne Hathaway and James Franco did a good job. Like I don't really like pairing co-host and shit, like guy girl type shit, cause
well,
I witnessed that.
Wait a minute, I just thought of something. Anne Hathaway is gonna be Catwoman, right, man? Is that what, huh?
She's gonna be Selena Kyle.
Catwoman, man. That's her. And then Franco, that dude. But he's going to be the Green Goblin. He was a Green Goblin, right? He's green. He was just a goblin.
He was goblin food up.
Totally was, man.
New Goblin.
I'll tell you this. James Franco and Twinkies, they don't stand a fucking chance, man. They're just like, you know, he's like, hey, man, this is my dinner. You
it's
know,
all
I'm
about hoes and ho-hos?
Yeah, dude. So it was kind of a nice stony Marvel DC
you gotta show
crossover,
him,
man.
You gotta show him your fucking devil dog.
That's disgusting, man. Who brought this guy to the party, man? I'm out of here, dude. I'll see you cats later, man.
All right, man. Just don't fall asleep on the steps. We have to walk down those.
We're gonna see him on the steps in the morning.
We're gonna see him on the fucking steps. Wait. He's on the steps.
Yeah, that's how it happens.
Narcoleptic pothead.
Word proof. Time to get this money. A-dash. O-C. D-I. What? A-dash. O-C.
All right, now it's time for the what if section of the show. This is going to be a new segment we're going to be doing where we will be taking questions from our loyal listeners, all 7 of you, and you know, answering them back and you know, letting you know what we think about, you know, your question.
Yeah, you guys are going to ask us what, you know, Earth 2 Word Podcast world might look like, and we're going to tell you because we can look that far because we have that kind of vision.
Well, I mean, if you ask us a question like that,
here's your answer. And I hope you understand this. It's just me looking at you with a stupid ass look on your face. Here it goes. You're an idiot. So
in writing, that's dot, 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 you're an idiot.
Yes.
So, all right, so what question are we answering tonight?
All right, the first one is going to come from Paul Burnett.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
His
I know who you are, so yeah, what's up?
His what if is, what if they did a Justice League movie rather than an Avengers movie? Would you prefer it?
That's a good one. I mean, I think DC thinks eventually they're going to do a Justice League movie. So it's kind of interesting to actually talk about what it would be like. I don't know when the fuck they're ever going to get there, because they got to do like 80 other movies beforehand, you know. Let's talk about it from the perspective of, because I would see the world where they actually get the movies right, like Marvel is doing as far as individual characters. So if you got 5 movies with the equivalent, maybe not as good, but roughly as good as Batman. We already don't think Green Lantern is going to live up to it, but it might. So if you were going to get 5 character movies from DC that would lead you to a Justice League, what are the movies and what the fuck would they look like? Because we know what Iron Man, we know what Hulk, but now we're about to get Thor and Cap. We know what Marvel's up to. But what would the direction, what would the aesthetic of DC live-action flicks look like individually for the characters? Like, what do you guys think? I mean, I know for one, I would love to see a startup of Batman, Superman, World's Finest. But what do you think a real Wonder Woman movie would look like? Or, you know, who would even be the characters? I mean, Flash?
If you would do a Flash movie, you could easily get, like, Bradley Cooper. I've been saying this shit since Hangover, like, wow, that's the Flash right there. After watching 18, I was like, this is definitely the fucking Flash.
Yeah,
so you could definitely get Bradley Cooper as Flash. You know, keep Christian Bale as Batman, of course, you know.
If you could get him to sign on,
you know. This is hard. This is hard.
Yeah.
This is hard. Because you got to think, like, Wonder Woman is very dated. She's very dated. Like, make her live action, you would have to change her the way she looks. Because people don't dress like that anymore.
I don't think anybody ever.
Ever did.
I don't think anybody ever dressed like Wonder Woman.
And I mean, I understand
except
that.
Except for
but it's like, I mean.
Strippers.
Like.
Who
are when,
also
like when this new Wonder Woman show comes out, I'm ready to laugh at her, right. At this actress because she's gonna look like a retard. I mean, Linda Carter look like a fucking retard.
That's not saying like, anything
saying,
about this
like,
woman's like mental fortitude.
No.
Because we
just
don't
say,
know.
I'm just saying. Certain superheroes look hard, and like this shit they like wouldn't be able to be wearing. So like, I don't know who could play Wonder Woman. I know about 10. Maybe 15 years ago now, you could probably get Lucy Lawless from Xena to play fucking Wonder Woman, maybe?
Well, just to finish up the Wonder Woman bit, what Wonder Woman, like, how would you do a Wonder Woman, not even as a Wonder Woman, but they would lead into a Justice League movie, because we're talking about a Justice League movie. If this is going to be the precursor. How would you do a Wonder Woman that would lead into her being part of a team that had Christian Bale's Batman in it? You know?
Well, he would have to show, like, her on her planet and...
Her island.
Sorry.
Themyscira.
And there's going to have to be
Mascara
a lot of beautiful
island.
Women that can act and beat people up. And that's kind of hard. That's hard. I mean, well, any woman could be any man up now because after watching Salt, anybody that's 17 pounds can easily throw around Secret Service agents. This fucking half. She's Angelina Jolie weighs half. Of a fucking soda bottle.
Empty soda bottle.
Half a fucking empty soda bottle.
So Strong Breeze.
Strong Breeze will knock her ass over. And it's like, I don't know. This just sounds too hard for me.
I think
this is difficult. Yeah. You got to really think about this.
Maybe
shit.
They would go.
Brooksville's brain is not built for this.
I'm not ready to think because Justice League has a lot of fucking people. Which people would you choose for the movie and shit like that? We know who the Avengers are.
And like,
are.
Do people like, know who they are?
And people don't know. And we know people like, who the fuck is Green Arrow? They're going to say shit like that.
Yeah, but
they know who the fucking Avengers are.
I mean, you got some people who know who they are from Smallville. Maybe people, you know, maybe they might bank on that.
I was actually going to say, like, because Bill, I wanted to hear what you had to say about this, but I was going to say, I think a lot more people know the iconic DC characters better than the iconic Marvel characters. I think everybody knows Captain America, probably has a good idea of Iron Man,
right.
But probably very few people actually know who the fuck Thor is. more fewer than we would think know who Thor is, and he's a leading Avenger.
Right.
You know,
right.
Fucking Ant-Man? Who the fuck knows who Ant-Man is, right?
No,
so I think Superman,
Hawkeye,
Batman, Wonder Woman is a more prolific
like the big
character
three.
Set. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They've been on TV
right.
a lot longer.
Right.
Yeah, like I mean, in the mainstream.
Exactly,
yeah.
exactly. Like so in other words, who's the roster first, really? You know, you gotta go Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, and then you get two more. What do you Green Lantern, Flash? There's five.
Yeah. Can't put Green Arrow and it'll be too many green people. People will be confused.
And Black, he's a dude just with a bow.
And Black Vulcan.
Yeah, I don't think they're ever gonna put Black Vulcan in there
ever again.
Yeah. It will probably be Bat. It would be Supes, Bats, Wonder Woman, the Holy Trinity of fucking DC. You're gonna have Flash because you're gonna have to have your comic relief because those first three characters are pretty stoic.
Yeah.
Green Lantern. Gonna have to, but the thing is, see, shit like that. You can have fucking silly ass Ryan Reynolds. See,
yeah.
This is hard. Right,
but hold on, hold on. Don't listen. We're not talking about the world as it is. We're using word vision, and we're looking forward into the future. Earth 2. It was cool. It was a little wordplay. Just let me go with it. Thank you.
Whoever plays Wonder Woman, I would like to see an unknown. Come in and
tell
them.
Yeah.
We have known unknowns. It's unknown.
Somebody who's got the look down. Maybe somebody who knows martial arts. Like somebody that can actually do well.
I don't know. They don't hire a martial artist anymore. They just fucking. Here, bitch. Put these wires on. Like, go flip around like you know what you're doing.
In the word
action.
World and the word universe. That's what's gonna happen.
I think actually you might be closer to what it would need, not what it would get, than
right.
what'll really happen.
I think there are
actually chicks out there that could not only do the martial arts really well, but that would look drop dead, you know, dead gorgeous in whatever redesign outfit you give her. I just don't think that's gonna be the aesthetic. I agree with Roke. I think it's tricky. I mean,
it's tricky. It's tricky to
put
somebody in those fucking boots.
You know what else is
dress.
Really important about the Avengers versus Justice League? And I think this is really key to it, as much as we don't think about it. The Avengers have no major black characters and no major female characters. So your casting and your demographic sales are way, way, way easier. Putting Wonder Woman in there alone fucks up the whole thing because you got to have somebody in there that it makes it better if it works, but it makes it harder for it to work. You know, luckily the Justice League doesn't have any superpower black people, so they don't have to try to get that pie on it, you know, like it would be difficult, whatever. He just turned black. Oh, yeah, but Firestorm's back to white. Look, it don't matter.
What happened? Did he, like, fall?
No, Firestorm's...
wake up?
Firestorm's died. There's a whole lot of them.
He got the black smacked off of him. That's what happened.
No, there's a lot of... Stop it. There's a lot of...
That's what happened.
Firestorms. So one of the other ones in the Matrix. I don't give a fuck. Look, all I'm saying is that... How do you... Fuck all the rest of that. How do you make a Flash movie? Who the fuck do these people fight? They're gods, right? Like, Justice League... I mean, the Avengers is... At least
you're gonna have to bring in somebody that nobody else heard of again. It's gonna be like a Lex and Brainiac, and it's gonna be like
Lex and Brainiac is a great villain.
That's a great villain team, but that's like two movies. It's too hard.
They're doing an Avengers movie. We don't know how good it is because it ain't gonna be out for a year, and it's Joss Whedon doing it. So we
writing
got
and
high
directing.
Hopes. We got writing and directing. I mean, we got high hopes, but let's just say this. Right now, we're talking about the Justice League movie that could be. When we're equating it to the Avengers movie that isn't even here yet. So let's talk about the Justice League movie for a brief second. If it worked. We got DC Universe Online right now showing us that, you know, you can make a good multiplayer experience with the universe. But if you had to have those lead characters, those lead five, on screen, we're also assuming that they've already established each one of them with a good film by themselves. Right? At least one good film. Maybe not on the quality of Dark Knight, but something good. All right, so that world exists. What do you put the Justice League up against? You don't have to do origin stories. You've already done each of their individual main villains. I don't know who the fuck Wonder Woman's, Cheetah or somebody, you know, some shit. But what do you do for them? Do you go Lex Brainiac or do you go
Darkseid?
Say word.
Just Darkseid.
And we don't have enough money for that. The world doesn't have enough money to make a fucking Darkseid. Or an apocalypse with the Justice League in the same movie?
I don't think anything is cost prohibitive.
I'm just saying. Oh, most definitely is.
I don't think anything is cost prohibitive.
We spend a million on a movie
all the time nowadays, you know what I mean? And we get results from them. No, Rogue, I mean.
That's why we don't have a Halo movie yet. That's why they just canceled Bioshock. It's not happening. This shit's cost too much money. Underwater City.
I think maybe the way that
even
we make
movies. Even
what's his
face, he can do it because he's doing that fucking Sucker Punch movie and all that crazy shit going around. Yeah, he can do it. He can make that shit.
Superman, so we'll see.
Yeah.
He's not right. But
I'll tell you this. I think, you know, right now it's more feasible that there is a Avengers movie, of course, than a Justice League.
I think all of us are poisoned by what we have.
But the thing is, though, is that they would they'd have to really introduce those. Marvel really set the tone, because I think it's good that they do all these individual movies and they're all connected, and then it all culminates into this
like
Avengers movie.
We're looking into the Earth 2 lens, the What If lens of a universe where each of the Justice League characters has already had a good establishing movie. That's something that we don't even know if it's going to happen at all. Although DC would need to do it if they were going to do a Justice League.
Yeah, but they got so much bullshit going on with, you know, just the way that their licensing and shit goes.
Agreed.
You know, it would be impossible. Like, I wouldn't want to see Christian Bale as Batman in a Justice League movie. It would not work.
I don't know. It will have to be incredibly dark and depressing for it to work.
Yeah,
but
no one can have superpowers. Are you fucking crazy? Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Superman can run fast.
Look, I will say this.
He drives a car.
I think that Marvel set the tone, but what we're forgetting is that before, Marvel only set the tone recently. They only did it with Iron Man. They only did it with Hulk. And they only have now the Thor and Cap movie that are about to come out this year. So really, you know, I think we're basing all this on an expectation of something. Remember, a few years ago, we had, as our litmus test, Spider-Man 3, Fantastic Four 2, okay, and what, Elektra and Daredevil and fucking Ghost Rider? So let's keep it in perspective. Back then, we didn't think we were going to get an Avengers movie, or we knew it was going to be shit. So let's maybe assume that DC figures out how to do the formula that Marvel has figured out right now that we didn't have a few years ago. And let's assume that they get it right or got it right in this universe. If we got, because I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say that Justice League Unlimited had it. You said Brainiac Lex? That's exactly what I want to see from that episode of Justice League Unlimited where, you know, where Lex is going completely nuts and takes all the fucking villains out of space. I don't want to see that episode, but I want to see that kind of epic. And that was a cartoon show. I want to see that on the big screen with the characters being the characters, not being we need to establish them for happening.
They're watching, right now they're watching Marvel make their mistakes and are learning from that. So it's highly possible that in this universe that it could be possible.
What?
Did I just say it's possible that it could be possible?
Not right now, though. Not after all.
No, not right now.
I thought possibly, but after all, saw that Green Lantern trailer and the pictures of him doing Superman, like, maybe 10 more years.
Well, I'm not frustrated about the Superman casting, but I will say that if they could pull off getting me to care as much about a Justice League movie, and I think it would really just take really good casting, like any other good movie, you know, and a good script, I think that I would be equally, not more, not less, equally as excited to see the main five members of the Justice League done really well on screen as I would to see that Avengers movie. Because, you know, like I said, if you'd asked me a few years ago when we didn't have the new slew of Marvel movies under Marvel Studios, I probably would have been like, I don't want to see an Avengers movie. I mean, an Avengers movie, because I think it'll be shit. But now I think it'll be really good, or at least worth watching. And I think that a Justice League movie of the same caliber would definitely excite the fuck out of me. DC Universe Online, give me the fucking opening credits, like the opening movie. Give me that as a live action, I'll pee my pants.
And like the latest video they just showed, I showed Chris the other day, yeah, like a mother cinema. I'm like, man, fuck the game. Make a movie.
I mean, you can do it, but I understand why Roke is, you know, reticent, because shit, man. Remember those days a while ago, like I said, with Marvel, we're at those days with DC. The only good thing they got at all is Bale's Batman.
It's just,
like,
it's too hard right now.
I don't know if it's too hard, I will say that I think the chances of it happening are probably pretty slim. And I also like what Bill said. I think they're watching Marvel and watching their mistakes. I think Warner has a lot, you know, at stake, and they're going to wind up throwing their hat in a good way.
We'll see.
Eventually. But that question was from Paul. Paul, I gotta say, I gotta say, I know you'd be excited to see it too. So thanks for the question, and you can always ask us to look forward through our "What If Earth 2" word lens.
That's what I want every week. If you guys have any "What If" questions, bring them to us. Put it on our Facebook. Put it on our Facebook. Damn it! You know, send us a message. We'd love to hear from you. Can I get a word from the crew here? Hold on. What? 1, 2, 3.
Word! That is fried chicken. Go to fried chicken.